Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Wiest World. Here we are. Man, how about that intro, huh? I think I love it even more every week, if that's possible.
Indeed.
Hey, so we're at Wiest World today, and man, it is Brad Lely Day. You probably heard it on the news.
It is.
And I have been enjoying this podcast now for a while. It started out as the Leadology podcast. It was named for my book of the same name, Leadology. And I interviewed trombone players. Just, man, some of the greatest in the world. And we will continue to have trombone players on this show. But I thought, you know, let's make the tent a little bigger. And in fact, let's cover the world. And it's Wiest World at the end of the day. And so here we are, and I've expanded it. We had Greg Bissonette, the great drummer, on last week. And now, my dear friend, Brad Lely. Most of these folks are my friends or somebody who I want to get to know as a friend. So it's very selfish, this show, because I get to see my friends and talk with them and make new friends. And in so doing, lift up my fellow artists, my fellow wizards, in this music that we love so much, and get to brag on them a little bit. So here we are. It's all about Brad Lely today. Unbelievable alto saxophonist. He plays a lot of the woodwinds, of course, as one does in his position, but he's known for alto. Man, I first met him back in the day at North Texas with the 1 o'clock and wrote some charts that featured him. As well as, man, Brad has lived such a beautiful and, as you'll hear, blessed life. You know, Harry Connick Jr., Count Basie, and nowadays Lyle Lovett, the Kennedy Center Honors. Man, some of my favorite Kennedy Center moments, Aretha, Led Zeppelin, Paul McCartney. Brad's right there. Him and Blue Lou and so many other great cats. So he knows a thing or two because he's seen a thing or two. And you know what? Let's get right to it. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Brad Lely. Hey, everybody, look, it's Brad Lely. Here he is. What's up, Brad?
Steve, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, the one thing I'm worried about is this audience, though, this unruly studio audience. And even dogs. There's dogs here, too.
That's my dog. Very unruly at the moment.
Oh, security, please quiet this audience down. It seems like it's thousands. We just have to get them to be quiet.
And he's excited.
Who let the dogs in is what I need to know. But so mine is right outside the door. What's your dog's name? The
audience Brownie for Clifford Brown.
Oh, man. I don't know if I've met Brownie.
Yeah.
That's great. Mine is Deborah's and I. We have a golden 2-year-old retriever named Phoebe. Wow. She's Phoebe. Yeah.
Wow.
Brownie's got something to say.
Yeah. Somebody must be walking down the sidewalk. I should ask my mom to bring him in her room.
That's right. You need to have a thing outside your door that says recording. When the red light's on, that means you be quiet. When the light's on.
Yeah. Brownie.
Brownie, that's right. Well, here we are. It's Brad Lely Day here in Wiest World. And I got a weird question for you. All right. Our good pal, Glenn Koster, has always said Lely. What's up with that? It's Lely.
No,
right?
Man. No, that's Glenn's take. Okay. It's Lely.
That's what I thought. I've always said that.
Yeah. But
last time I heard him say Brad Lely, I got all paranoid. Oh, man.
No, man. Okay. Glenn has done that for years.
It's a Glenn take. You know, he's got his own way of looking at the world.
Right.
And I love him dearly. But, okay, we establish his Lely and there.
But it's actually supposed to be Lealy. It's Italian. Oh. It's supposed to be Lealy.
Lealy.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Right. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the show Finding Your Roots? It's a PBS show. It's really cool where they do
Who's the host?
I can't think of his name now. He's a famous professor.
It's Henry Louis Gates or something like that?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll put it in on the screen and I'll edit us to where we seem like we know what the heck's going on.
Okay.
But yeah, that's a great show. It'd be interesting to see where Liali came from and at what point. But anyway, so here we are. We're going to go all Actors Studio here. Full disclosure, Brad is as much my brother as my brother from my mother is. We've known each other forever.
We certainly have.
Yes, and I've treasured every minute of it, and we'll bring in some interesting stories later about that.
Okay.
And,
sounds like a plan.
But, so I'm going to pretend like I'm interviewing you here a little bit.
Okay.
Actors Studio, Brad Lely begins in Denver. This is correct, right?
Yes, Denver, Colorado.
Born and raised Denver?
Born and raised.
Man, and what a great scene, as I understand it. Let's talk about your the family upbringing, the influences there, the influences of the church. Tell us about the Lely household.
Wow. Well, it was, when I think of it, of course, I took things for granted then because it was just a way of life. But now that I look back, I can't even, I'm so extremely blessed. You know, my grandfather was a Baptist preacher.
Oh.
And he was a Baptist preacher. And not only that, he was a major contributor to our community. He had his own gas station at one time. He was an entrepreneur. He had his own, we had our own Lely's barbecue restaurant.
No way.
Built his house. Yeah, my grandfather was incredible. Anyway, and had his own church, of course. But yeah, you know, he lived in Five Points, which was, you know, predominantly African American, you know. That was where all the streets came together, right downtown. It was such a hip area, man.
It's still celebrated in Denver to this day.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. You know.
Sure.
So, yeah, you know, he had my dad, of course, and my dad was a man. He loved jazz. He loved jazz. He used to play saxophone, alto.
Yeah.
And John Coltrane was his man. Like, I grew up hearing Blue Train.
How young were you when you first heard Coltrane?
I heard it out of the womb.
Wow.
Not knowing what I was saying, because that's all he played when we were in the car. You know, when we got home, KADX, KDKO, those were the stations. So
wow.
You know, he was really quite hip. That's all I listened to. So I grew up going through his collection, listening to Train, Cannonball, Miles, Stanley Turrentine, Lou Donaldson, Clifford Brown, Max Roach. You know, the list goes on and on and on. Kenny Burrell, J.J. Johnson, Freddie Hubbard. You know,
The Justice League of jazz, man.
And my mother was listening to my mother loved Nancy Wilson. She still loves Nancy Wilson to this day. So, you know, it was really nice to get the vocal side of things as well. You know, not only instrumental, but she was listening to, you know, Nancy Wilson, like I said, Carmen McRae, Billie Holiday, Etta Jones, Etta James, you know,
This might explain some of the Brad Lely style, which is itself a very vocal style. And so you're growing up right away with the vocalists as well as instrumentals.
Yeah, you know, I've always felt that's the musicians in the community. And it was a community of musicians,
Man.
They would always tell me to sing, sing through the instrument. And, you know, it's just something that I have always tried to do.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes successfully, sometimes maybe not, but it's something that has always been ingrained in me. And plus I love it. I love Oh man, you know,
yeah,
you know.
It's the best. To this day, I'm a Sarah guy. So to this day, whenever I hear Sarah, I'll just stop whatever I'm doing and just wallow in that sound, man. Which
you know, all of me, they were listening to Aretha Franklin.
Wow,
right,
man. You know, yeah, well, sure, with gospel, you know, at that, that time, sure.
Sean of James, it was just so much. So much. And it always, I think that my parents, you know, they came up in that generation where you had to feel something.
Right, right.
You know, bring something to the table with feeling and emotion. And that's really what they tapped into. And I kind of grew up, I grew up in that environment, in that.
Sure. Yeah, what a great gift. What a great gift that, you know, sometimes students will study the craft and the vocabulary, but not always the feeling and telling the story. Right. So, man, it's so cool that you grew up that way. Well, let's look at the path a little bit here. So we were talking earlier a little bit about the Denver Junior Police Concert Band. Was that like the first organization you were in, or how'd that work?
That was the first one, man. That was the first one. It was funny because we had to dress up like little policemen.
Really?
Yeah, we had the uniform on. We had the hat.
Wow.
Everything. There were some pictures. My mom still has some pictures in the
uniform. Oh, I must see those sometime.
Yeah, but it was a very informative, I would say, upbringing in that concert band arena, because my cousin Jeff is a trombone player, and my cousin Larry was
a trombone player. Had the pleasure of playing with Jeff once.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. You did. And Larry doesn't play anymore, but they were in the band before me. So they are the ones that, you know, their father, my Uncle Milton, told my dad about it, and my dad signed me up. So I was, you know, it was a lot of fun. I was there with my cousins, and we would go there, and then when we got home, we'd go home and play some Abersols, and it was really nice, man. You know,
the community aspect, the emphasis on that, man. This is a group of people, a village, a community.
They're truly
all thinking and supporting one another, man.
Yeah.
Well, you add that to your time in the church, and just no doubt how you started. Well, before we leave Denver, tell me about, I always get the name wrong when I was living there,
El Chapultepec.
Chapultepec, that's
El Chapultepec, the Peck.
The Peck.
That's all you need to say, the Peck. Everybody.
The Peck, all right. So I'll be hip now, the Peck. So everybody was there. Man, you saw so many cats there.
Oh, my goodness, man. That was school.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was school, because I say community.
Right.
All the cats came through the Peck. Dexter Gordon. Clark Terry.
Benny Golson came through.
Benny Golson. Yeah. Nat Adderley.
Oh man.
Oh. Cleanhead Vincent, Eddie Cleanhead Vincent.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, man. And it was a small stage. You could come in for free.
Yep.
And you can sit there, and not only would you hear great music, but you can go, they had the best burritos in town.
Yes, now that I have, I'm familiar with that. So you're in there enjoying this, and was there any access? Were the cats cool to a young person?
Oh, man, they were always
in there?
Cool. That's why I was always there. And, you know, and the local musicians, you know, oh, man, it was just every night they had music. And Jerry, the owner, who was really the one that was responsible for it being so hip, he would let the young kids come in. We come in, we get to sit in. You know, with cats like Billy Tolles, a local legend. Mm-hmm. You know, they just had, everyone was there. All these local musicians were just Ed Battle, great singer, You know, a lot of it, I can't, you know, when I get emotional about this, then I start getting names and things like that. But man, there were so many, and they would just take us, you know, and they would teach us, they would let us sit in. And if we did something wrong, they would tell us, they'd also tell us what to do. And, you know, it was just a community. Billy Wallace, phenomenal pianist.
So these were your years of truly learning on the bandstand. You had that opportunity. Man, the absolute best upbringing in our music. It can't get any better. That's
Freddie Rodriguez, Nat Yarbrough. I could go on. Yes.
Amazing. Yeah.
It was really phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Well, now we're getting to the point in the travels of Bradford Lely, where you and I will soon meet. So what is your path to the University of North Texas? Back then we called it North Texas.
North Texas.
Yeah, state.
Well, so, Charlie Young. You know Charlie Young?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Charlie Young was, I saw an album, or no, I didn't see an album, but someone told me about Charlie Young. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Young was the lead alto player. And African-American, phenomenal. I just knew that he went there. He did this great arrangement on Cannonball's solo on Easy to Love. And I was like, wow, I want to be like that. So Javon Jackson, the great Javon Jackson, great tenor player. We decided, because I had no idea, this is why I respect some of the kids these days. They know exactly where they're going to go. They go do research in schools, teaching. Well, we didn't. It was quite different back then.
We didn't have access to that.
We didn't have access to all that information.
Right.
So he said he was going to, I had a full ride to UNLV. But Javon said he wanted to go to North Texas. So I had no clue. I was like, okay, I'm going to North Texas with you. Charlie Young is there. And, you know, my mom is from Dallas, from Oak Cliff. So I'm going to Dallas and I'm going to go to North Texas. And then at the last moment, Javon decided not to go.
Right.
Yeah. And I had all my paperwork done. And I told my mother, I said, Mom, I'm not going. And she said, I don't think so. You're going. So
please give her an extra hug for that.
Man, there's so many things I need to hug her for. But
So
it's funny. She said, you're going. And then I said another thing I thought was funny. I said, Mama, I'm going to major in jazz studies, too. Oh. And my mother said, no, you're not. You're going to major in music education. You grew up in jazz. This is how you grew up.
That's right. And well, that's a good point, man.
It was a great point, and I thank her to this day for that, because I got there, and no, even though I wasn't a jazz major, it was so cool because you could still go to the classes, you could still talk to the professors, and all my friends, you know, all we did was practice, and I would look in their books and get their assignments. So it was like I got best of both worlds. So that's how I ended up in North Texas.
Well, I'm so glad you did. And your mom is spot on. You had already lived the education that most students read about, you know.
Right.
So you were already with the cats, and that's incredible. And then, as I mentioned, I had the honor of meeting you and hooking up with you and Glenn and Shelley and all the cats. You and Shelley, I've often said it's like Batman and Batman. It's both Batman. There's no Robin in that relationship.
That's my brother. That's really my brother. We were like, and we're still like this.
It's beautiful to see you guys together. You can tell the bond is, but what was so cool about, you know, coming from the outside as I did from Maynard's band to North Texas and hearing the cats doing the usual thing that was popular in those fusion-y days. And then here comes you and Shelley doing the traditional stuff. And it was instantly to me, I said, I must spend time with Brad and Shelley. It's, I must write for Brad and Shelley. I must learn from Brad and Shelley. Yeah, here came Cannonball and the Jug, you know, is just like you know.
Our Ned Cop. I didn't know you felt like that. We were just hanging, man. We were all hanging, having fun, sharing information.
It was definitely a community vibe. We were just a laugh a minute. Just crazy. That's anytime you get a bunch of musicians together, that's why I think it was such a blessing the way you grew up. It's just you get musicians together and forget it. It's almost feel bad for civilians for the rest of the world because they can't hang like musicians do. Oh, so for all the civilian listeners, you know, it's cool because you guys can do math and you're responsible. But we have a hang that's Oh man. Okay. So now let's move on quick because I want to get to some new stuff here. But we have to do the path, the journey of Brad to how you got to the voodoo that you do now. Harry Connick, when did that, man, that came up pretty quick after the 1 o'clock and all that stuff at North Texas. You hook up with Harry.
Well, you know me, I come from the church, so I'm very spiritual, and I believe that the Lord has a path for everyone.
Right.
And you just have to listen and just go with it, right?
Yep.
And you know, not saying that we're all perfect. We all make mistakes, but you get what I'm saying.
I do.
So, you know, it's funny. You know how there can be cliques. You know how there were cliques. You know, the cats that can play, they're going to be like this, and they're going to vibe everybody else, you know.
Right.
And that never vibe with me. I can't stand it. You know, I guess it comes from being African American. You can't you do in love. Be, you know,
absolutely.
You grow up with the
The
world is a clique against you. Anyway.
Right.
So I've never ever been into that. But there was a trumpet player named Kevin at UNT. He was different. He was a little different, you know. And musicians are different anyway.
That's why
I couldn't understand. We're all different.
Right.
So I think that I just liked him. You know, he wasn't in the 1 o'clock or anything like that. I just dug him. He was a good dude.
Sure.
And so we were friends, and he ended up leaving, right? And so this is years later, right? So I get home one night, I'm hanging out with my good friend Deepak, and I get home and I get this message on my answering machine, which we had back in those days.
Right.
And it was Ben Wolf. Ben Wolf was Harry's bass player. And it was funny because about 4 or 5 days before that, I went to the record store and I picked up When Harry Met Sally because I had been hearing about Harry kind of.
Right.
I said, man, let me get this album and hear what these cats are dealing with. And they were swinging. And so I get home. Ben Wolf is calling me. And he said, hey, Brad, my name is Ben Wolf. I'm the bass player from Harry Connick Jr. And we already had auditions in Dallas, but we didn't hear about you. And we're still looking for someone. And a friend of ours named Kevin gave us your number.
The circle comes back. That's right.
There you go. That's why you have to always be careful, right? Not just because you know what may happen or what may not happen. Just be cool. Just be cool with people. Just be nice.
Rule.
As my wife says, be cool, be kind. So Kevin gave us your name. And we'd like you to, you know, audition for the band.
Wow.
And I said, okay, well, I have a demo tape. You know, we had demo tapes back there, and I could send it to you.
Yeah.
And Ben said, no, we don't have time for that. I just need to hear you play now.
Wow. On the phone.
On the phone.
Oh, so, man.
He said, play something. So I played Cherokee. He said, okay, you got the gig.
Oh, wow. Bam. There it is.
There you go. And you tell me that's the Lord right there.
Yeah, I agree, man.
That's the Lord right there.
I'm the same way.
And so it happened that I was graduating in, what, a week?
Wow.
I graduated. The next day after graduation, I was in Boston with Harry Connick Jr. Dang. Rehearsing.
Wow.
I can tell you. Yeah. That's Woo. How I...
All right. So at some point, there's going to have to be the Brad Lely memoir, because stories like that have got to get out there, man. That's beautiful.
It was crazy, man.
Yeah.
And then I can't even tell you that first rehearsal. I remember the first rehearsal because, and I'm not, you know, I loved my time with the 1 o'clock. It was fantastic.
It was fun really, to write learned, for you in there, like yeah. visions and stuff, you know?
Right.
Got to put a Brad beautiful. Solo in there. Yeah.
But when I heard that band, it was like, wow.
That's a serious.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And there was a trumpet player. You know who he is. He's still around. Leroy Jones.
Sure. Man. Killing.
Man.
Yep.
On the first rehearsal, I heard Leroy playing behind me.
Hmm.
And it was like, wow.
Yep. There it is. It's one of those truths when you hear yeah. certain cats, you know, it's just. No questions, no argument. You just know here's a guy can tell a story. And Leroy is a storyteller, man.
Just, special.
Yep.
Just truly singing through that trumpet. He was a major, major influence on me. And, you know, wow. just by listening to him every night, I had never seen one person with their instrument just rock a crowd of thousands.
There it is. Yes. The communicating with the people, that's telling a story, right? It's, yes. That's so important. And
it was crazy, man. And well, you know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, it's not Christmas time here at the Weiss household until we hear Brad Lely playing lead alto. On When My Heart Finds Christmas, folks, go out and buy that recording now. It's the best.
Thank you. Oh, man.
That's state-of-the-art Bradford right there.
Yeah, that was such an education, man, because Harry had, he really knew how to get a band together.
And he wrote all those arrangements, those charts were his, right? That's beautiful. We'll keep it moving here a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'd like to spend the whole day with you, but, you know, your mom, your wife, Brownie, everybody needs some time with
they
Brad.
They need Brad time.
They do. It's important. Brad time is important. All right. So now you get a call recommended from Foz, or did you start out with Frank Foster with Basie before Grover? So how did the Basie thing happen?
Oh, yeah. What happened was we were doing with Harry Connick Jr., we were doing a record date with Branford's ex-wife.
Mm.
And Frank Foster was doing the arrangements.
Oh.
So Frank Foster came in and we recorded, right? And he heard me and he said, hey, man, when I want you to play alto in the Basie band, when you get out of this band, when we have opening. And I said, wow. I said, you're Frank Foster. I said, what? It was like, okay.
Yep.
So, yeah, man, when Harry's band ended, it just, again, man, thank you, Lord.
Yep.
There was an opening in the Basie band, and Frank Foster called me, and I was working on my DMA. No, my master's.
Oh.
No, that was my master's in the real Rutgers? Music world. No.
I'm with Basie. Yeah, the University of Basie. The now University it's, yes.
Basie. I got my undergrad with Harry Connick.
Right.
And now I was working on my master's.
Man. So did you start out playing the solo alto chair, or were you lead?
No, right away? I always played second alto.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. I always played. Oh, yeah. It's a solo chair. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Man. Well, wow. You know, I think of it that way. But, of course, anybody who plays that lead chair is also.
Right.
Man. So what a story. We have to do the memoir. And, of course, as you saw on Facebook, I already have a title for you. Gratis. It's for you.
Oh, yeah.
The priority is still and always will be soul. There's your memoir title right there. Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Okay. What in the heck? I mean, there's so many great things. Let's just jump right into, you know, after that, at some point, you take advantage of your education in education and you get the gig at Texas Tech. And then I call you up as soon as Jim left North Texas. And I said, oh, no,
sure did.
You are not going to be at Texas Tech. Sorry, folks, you're coming here to North Texas. And
you sure did.
Happily you did, man. I might have called you minutes after I heard that Jim had left.
Yeah, you certainly did. Thank you for that. You know, it's
thank me.
I really thank
myself, man.
Wow. I was happy at Texas State.
You were doing great things. You established a scholarship there and all kinds of.
I was like, this is it. This is the golden ticket.
Yes.
Texas Tech, Lubbock, Texas. I was like, bam, this is it for me. And I remember I still miss those people there. That was great, great opportunity for me. It was a wonderful learning opportunity. But I remember you called me and then it worked out where I was coming back from a tour and I had just a couple of hours and I came to North Texas and did the interview. And when I got back to Lubbock, that's when Neil called me and said, hey man, we would like to offer you the job.
Bam.
And you know what I said? I said, well, let me back because I wanted to ask her. I remember I asked my mentor, Willie Hill,
I remember Willie.
I said, I really like it here. Do you think I should go to North Texas? And he said, are you crazy?
All right. I need to give him an extra hug, buy him some dinner.
What? That's not even...
Wow.
So, yeah, I called Neil immediately and said, yeah. But
I'm so glad you did, man.
It was great. I just, you know, I was... and I. Lubbock, Texas was so good to me. It was really difficult to leave because the faculty, I established so many friends, even in administration. It was really nice. But yeah, moving to Texas it's just a no-brainer. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a high profile. It's the ultimate kind of pulpit for.
Yeah.
You know, communicating, getting wonderful students and just, you can do so many great things with that. And you have, and you continue to. It's
thank you.
Wonderful to see you there and your students. Forget about it. Every year I look forward to seeing who's the next Lily star this year. And there's always somebody who's killing it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? There's so many more things on your path because you've done so many things. There's two I'm going to get back to. But first... I want to try out this new thing on you.
Okay.
Because, this is the first time it's going to show up. You know, we've heard about the Actor's Studio. He would ask these questions. And then Stephen Colbert copied that and came up with the Colbert questionnaire to say, how do we really know somebody? And so I have come up with a new feature, and it's called, and I'm going to leave some space because I got a fanfare. It's called The Westworld Inquisition. There's that fanfare, huh? That thing is spared no expense. 7 cues to heaven to really get to know somebody.
Seven cues
to heaven, referring to our good friend Miles Davis.
What do you mean referring to it? That's stealing is what you're doing.
All right. So I'm going to ask these questions and here's the deal. Don't even think about it. Just boom, you got to answer them. And it'll tell us a lot about who Bradford Lilly really is. And we can discuss afterwards or just zip right through them. So question number one for the very first, Weast World Inquisition. Who is your favorite superhero? Now, this could be any genre, comics, literature, somebody you know personally, etc. Who is your superhero favorite?
Oh, come on, man. My mom.
There you go. I think that's a beautiful answer. All right. Question number two. What is your go-to recording? Or is there just one? It could be like 100, but your go-to that you just keep coming back and coming back to it.
Oh, come on. That's so unfair.
Okay. I know. I have one of them. So it's one of your go-tos that you say, I got to listen to this. I haven't heard it in a while.
Okay. Well, this is, I'm going to give you, there's Don Wilkerson.
Okay.
Don Wilkerson, great tenor player. Not many people know him because he did maybe four sides with Blue Note, played with Ray Charles. But this is a bootleg of Don Wilkerson playing Come Rain or Come Shine.
Wow.
With Ray Charles. And the tempo is like this. I'm gonna love you.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm telling you, it rips my heart apart every time I hear it.
I must hear this. Next time we get together, I want to hear it.
But can I just say Cannonball?
All right.
Janine.
Yes.
On them Dirty Blues. Okay. And they're swinging.
You know, that's two go-tos right there. That's great. All right. This one will be easier. Or not. What's your favorite season of the year and why?
Fall.
Ah, that's mine too.
I love fall.
Me too.
You know, you have the holidays. Yep. I love Thanksgiving. I love Halloween. I love Christmas. Yep. My wife's birthday.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's recorded now. That's some points. That's some points.
And the weather is nice and cool. You can wear sweaters.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to, you know, sweat and.
especially in Texas. It finally breaks and like gets down to the cold 75s and 80s.
Yeah. You know? the leaves. I love fall.
All right. Here's question number four. What is streaming at Castle Lely tonight? What's streaming? What are you guys watching?
To tell the truth?
Absolutely. Or, you know, or not.
Okay.
We got to get to know Bradley a little closer.
My mother and I like these.
I'm scared.
We like Dateline.
Dateline. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
You know, my mother wanted to be a forensic psychologist, or she wanted to be a, you know, she really digs that stuff, like how to figure out crimes and things like that. Yeah.
That's it. I mean, you go back to the original Datelines, and then I haven't seen modern day Datelines. Do they have a good cat that does that?
Yeah,
that original guy was deep, man.
Yes. So my wife doesn't like those, though. So that's why.
Sneak them in. Well, that's good. That's what's streaming. All right. Hey, here's number five. What is the best ice cream flavor?
Well, man, I have a, you know. Okay. We have a, you know, my wife's son, well, my son too, Braden, was working at an ice cream store in San Francisco.
Wow.
And he would get me this ice cream that was raspberry, brie.
Oh, get out. Brie,
and walnuts. Oh,
wow. That sounds killing.
It was killing, man.
I'm like chocolate peanut butter. You know?
I know. I was. See, that's you know,
but that's hip. What you just said, that's like another
I love
level.
Chocolate
that's...
and peanut butter. In fact, my wife, you know, that was my birthday cake.
Oh,
knows I love that. So
yeah,
But man, this man, he brought this home for me one night, and it was just ridiculous.
Raspberry brie and
it's walnut. Raspberry brie and walnut.
Oh my goodness,
it's insane.
All right, got two more. What is your favorite sports team or athlete? I think I know the answer to this one now, but
you think so?
I think because you mentioned it earlier. Maybe, I don't know.
Okay, I'd have to go basketball. Michael Jordan.
Ah, end of the story right there. I assume you saw that great documentary.
Absolutely.
I've seen it twice. I love that stuff, man.
Yeah.
All right, here's the easiest one. Number seven, the last question. What is the meaning of life?
You know, to me, the meaning of life is love.
Mm.
That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Lely has passed the first Westworld Inquisition.
That's it.
Applause, applause.
Boy, that was hard.
Yeah, you think so? The Inquisition was a little tough?
It was fun. I mean, you know, it makes you think, it's like, oh man, favorite superhero, but it can be anyone.
Anyone, anybody. You know, I was originally thinking Superman, Batman, you know, Black Panther, who's
right.
But you know, anyone, then that opens it up to
that really opens it up. I was gonna say Black Panther.
Yeah.
But then I was like, wait a minute, like real superhero. Yeah.
Right. That's your mom. You can't get a better answer than that. All right, here's another feature, and then we're closing in on stuff. This is called, watch out, because I spared no expense on these special effects. This is called the lightning round. And see, look at that. Oh my gosh, it is terrifying. Well, yes, it's time for, every time I say the word lightning, there it was again. And so feel free to freak out, because it's going to be there every time I say, watch, I'll do it twice. Lightning! Oh! Oh! The lightning round! All right. What is this feature? This is where I've picked at random. Well, I actually bought them to add to my collection, because everybody should not just listen to our music. They should purchase it and help an angel get its wings. Oh, give a musician some money. So I bought these, and I'm just going to mention the title and the album, and then you can tell us a little bit about what that brings to mind. And then if it's cool with you, I mean, copyright and all that, it's fine, because I bought them, and I don't, Lord knows, I don't get any money for this podcast, so there's no copyright infringement. I'll play them so folks can hear Brad Lely. All right, the first one, I have to do it, Count Plays Duke. Grover's at the head, and we're talking about the Star-Crossed Lovers.
Oh, wow.
So beautiful. I'll just say that. It's one of my favorite Brad Lely moments. Tell us about that.
Mm. Well, that brings back, you know, Grover was like, man, almost like a second dad to me. I was so close to him. He really believed in me. He really, really did. You know, and at the time, he said, Brad, this is, I hear you on this. And I couldn't stand that tune.
Really?
I couldn't. I didn't get it. I was too young. I didn't get it. Now?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, what was my problem? But this is why, in my opinion, we need elders. We need to respect our elders. We have to embrace them, because their wisdom is on another level. They know more.
They've lived it. It's experiential.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now,
I totally agree.
I love that. I wish I had a second chance at it.
Well,
but I think
you sound great on it. And I think everybody else did too. Because did you not get nominated for a Grammy for that song?
Well,
yeah. I'll say that, because I know you are as humble as Slide Hampton was. I just know that certain cats are humble for a really good reason, but you got a Grammy nomination. So, you know what? Let's listen to it now. Editing wise, we're not going to do it, but
all right.
Here is, might be the world's most stupid question, but is this Duke's arrangement, or did somebody arrange the tune?
No, this is Micah Benny.
Beautiful chart.
Yeah.
Oh, such a beautiful chart. Count Basie Orchestra, Grover Mitchell, Director, here's Brad Lely, The Star-Crossed Lovers. Wow.
Thank you, Grover.
Boom. From that, man, it's so beautiful, man. And I love the chart. I'm glad to see that it was a Benny, man. He's a great writer.
Yeah, he is.
All right, I'm gonna pick another one. This is going deep here. DA's time, Manteca. Is this Klaus that put this together?
Yes,
it's killing. I love this chart, man.
Yes.
Tell us about this album, the quintet version of Manteca.
Well, you know, it was something that we kind of got together on our tour. You know, we had done several tours, and it was one of the tunes that we wanted to play, and it kind of evolved into what it was.
Nice.
And it was just something we all wanted to play.
So it kind of organically grew from the tour experience.
Yeah.
And you recorded after the tour.
We recorded after the tour,
That's brilliant, man.
I mean, that's a quartet, right?
It's a quartet, I think. Yeah.
And that's it.
Or I said, I wrote down quintet, but it could have been a quartet. I told you what, I wasn't good with math, so.
Yeah.
It's some cats playing. Well, here it is. Check it out. Here is the organic arrangement that comes from the tour. Klaus, here is Manteca. Thank you. manteca, I have always loved, and I only learned later in life that that meant lard. I mean, you know, like a cooking lard.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
This is news to me. I had no idea.
I found out that Dizzy, I guess the circles he ran in the Carolinas or something, that this was a brand of like Crisco, like oil, like lard, you know, it's manteca. It's lard. Oh man. We'll get some comments on that. They'll say, what are you talking about? Lard, man. But I think it was. That's what I always heard.
Okay.
Here's number three on the lightning. No. Sorry, I keep scaring Brad. Poor Brownie's freaking out, you know.
Brownie's confused.
Well, I have to choose this one because we have some history on this, and that is from Priority Soul and a couple other records. You've done it a couple of times. Puddin' Time.
Oh man.
So tell us about, there's a story involved in that. One of your recordings has a clip of the preaching, right?
That's my grandfather.
That who I is spoke your grandfather. Of earlier. Okay.
I wrote it for him. And the story is, you know, they used to call, before my grandfather was saved, right?
Yeah.
They used to call him Pud.
Ah.
And Pud meant pretty boy.
Ah.
He was a pretty boy. You know, had all kinds of ladies and things like this. This is before he was saved.
Yeah.
And I remember, when I first moved to New York, you know how sometimes you're so influenced by so many great musicians that you want to be like them, and you see that these are the cats that are getting all the recognition, so you want to be like that. I want to, and I was no different. Kenny Garrett, you know, everybody was trying to be like Kenny Garrett. Kenny Garrett is Kenny Garrett. He's the man.
That's true. That's true.
So yeah. I remember I first got to New York and I was trying to be like Kenny Garrett. I was trying to write and play in that style. Not doing well at all, but I was trying. And I remember like it was yesterday, I went to a jam session at the house of great trumpet player. I'm having to see him. Oh boy.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, it'll come to me at some
point.
When
it does, we'll edit and we'll pop it in right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I can't believe it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Joe Magnarelli.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Mags, right? So it was at his house and I was writing and I remember I brought this tune in and Mag said, "Oh, great. Just what New York needs is another angry alto player."
Oh, no.
And man, that broke my heart.
Yep.
But I went home and I was like, you know what? He's got a point. He's got a point because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be someone else who I'm not. And it's not coming out the way I want it to come out because everybody knows Kenny Garrett is beautiful.
Right.
Every aspect of his playing and his personality is beautiful. Everything.
Right. Yep.
But me trying to be someone that I'm not, you know, that in itself is going to come out like it's not going to be genuine. It's not going to be, you know. Wow. It's so that very day I went home and the next day I got up and I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to be me. I've got to be me. I've got to write. I still am going to be influenced by all these things, but I've got to come from my history, what resonates with me. And that very day I wrote Puddin' Time.
Wow.
And that's how that came out.
Ooh, man.
And there you go.
That's like an epiphany, man. That's beautiful.
That was from my grandfather.
Yeah. Well, let's, you know, I should probably put in the clip. Which album has it where he's where we've got a little bit of the
that's
preaching?
With the that's on
is it on Maria?
Maria Juanez.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I'll switch. I had Priority Soul written down, but I'm gonna switch to that track so we can get a little bit of your grandfather as well.
Yeah, that's him preaching.
Yeah,
and my grandmother in the background too.
Oh, we have to do it. All right. So from Maria Juanez, Here is, here, I'll do it again. From, so like I was saying, here is from Maria Juanez, featuring himself, the man, preaching a little bit at the beginning. Here is Puddin' Time.
Lord, make me again. And we're going to the scripture now of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, and the first through the seventh verse. Amen. Brother Lee, amen. If you will you read that, please?
The word which came to Jeremiah.
Now, the word which came to Jeremiah.
From the Lord.
Where did it come from?
The Lord.
Come from the Island School of Theology.
From the Lord.
This is here now. This is the Bible. All right,
Mother. Saying.
This is what he said.
now we come back. All right. Well, here's number four on the lightning round.
Oh,
I got
you. Oh, Brownie, I'm sorry. One that I wanted to feature, Mr. Sneaky. Tell us about Mr. Sneaky. And I love this chart too. Is this Klaus's chart?
You know who did the arrangement on that?
No.
Derek Gardner.
Did he?
Derek Gardner.
He's featured on this, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this Derek Gardner.
Derek, man, he's we stole him from the world. He's here in Chicago now.
I know you did.
Yeah, we're not. No,
you
him,
did.
Though. He will not leave.
That's my good friend right there. That's another one of my brothers. But
he is. He's spectacular out there at Northwestern and playing all over the place. It's so wonderful to go someplace and here's Derek sitting behind me.
Yeah.
So Derek's on this. Tell us about the band. Oh my gosh, John Faddis is playing lead.
Oh man,
this band
was an all-star band.
Yeah,
it really was. John Faddis, Frank Green.
Oh man,
was Frank on there. Sean Jones.
Woo! That's a trumpet section.
Yeah, Kevin Lewis playing trumpet. Derek Gardner. Vince Gardner was up there.
Yep.
Dion Parsons was on. No, not Dion. Dion Tucker was in the trombone section as well. I forget who. We had Ben Wolf playing bass. We had Al Vester on drums. We had Klaus on piano. Yep. Rick Germanson played piano on some. And then my saxophone section. Woo! We had Keith Loftus, my cousin tenor. You know, we had Mark Gross was playing alto on there. Tia Ford playing on there.
Wow.
Max, my friend Max, was playing Barry.
Huh.
And then who was my other tenor player? I can't believe I'm having a senior. I can't remember.
Well, that's a shame. Well, I'll pop in the personnel and the information, you know. Well, this is a great chart. Derek wrote this chart. I love it.
He arranged it. I wrote the tune.
This is your composition, and then Derek arranged it. People just go on ahead and just download the whole album or talk to Brad. He might even have a CD laying around.
Yeah.
He'll sign it for you. This is one you have to own so you can play it anytime. Don't get it from Spotify. Go ahead and pay some money for it. But this Maria Juanez, man, I love every track on here. Here is Mr. Sneaky.
Thank you.
There you go. We have...
This is stinky.
We've come back now, and we have finished the lightning round, and this is so sad for me to come to the last segment on Weast World. What's next for Brad Lely? You can hear Brad on tour every summer with the great Lyle Lovett's large band.
Yeah.
Just heard. Man, yeah. You guys just buy tickets when you hear that they're going to be in the neighborhood.
I'm telling you.
What a great, great ensemble.
Oh, man. I think, my gosh. You know, it's so, this is the opportunity where I have the chance to work with so many musicians from different backgrounds and different music styles. So
you're with one of the great bass players on the planet,
Leland Sklar.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what a
Russ
story
Kunkel.
He is, man.
I'm telling you, man. I can't believe it. This is like, I have to say, I'm so blessed and so thankful.
Yeah.
For these opportunities to work with so many different people, the community that I have had the opportunity to be surrounded by is just incredible. I'm just so thankful. So thankful.
I can sure appreciate that. I echo that. And I can tell you, as part of the community, we are very thankful for you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, man, all the stuff that you continue to do. Oh, sadly, this is the end of a beautiful day.
Well,
we're gonna have to leave. You. Oh, what a pleasure to have you here, Brad.
You have touched my soul, brother.
Oh, likewise, bless you. You must know at this point how much I love you, and
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we'll get together soon. I yearly find an excuse to hang out with Brad Lely.
Well, thank you, Steve.
We'll do it. Please tell everybody I say hello. We know so many folks in common. And
I will.
I'll do the same.
Okay, buddy.
All right, man.
See you later.
All right. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. Was that fun or what? Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Lely. Just one of my favorite people in the world. In the words of Gil Evans to Miles Davis, I sure am glad he was born. And I'm glad that our paths crossed, and I hope that they will cross again many more times. Just a treat and a wonderful episode. Lots of fun. How about the music? Woof! Great stuff. Brad's just the best. And always a pleasure to be around. Please check out the information below the video on YouTube and in the information section wherever you get your podcasts. And you'll see links to his website and more information about Brad. And importantly, where you can purchase his music. And please do so. You know, you can find this stuff for free, but musicians like to eat. You dig. So yeah, man, buy some of his stuff, please. It's all great, and you'll be glad you did. So thanks for tuning in, as we used to say, and stay tuned, as was once said back in the day, because there'll be lots more Weast World coming up soon, and I look forward to seeing you there. Thanks so much. Bye.
WCBC. Weast World.
Weast World's production of Weast World Productions 2025.
Man, that was... You're supposed to be talking fast. That was lame.